I've heard of the one whoever speaks before you sometimes stealing your verses, but never the special music stealing your verse. But that's okay. It's a good verse, and it is the first verse I wanted to look at tonight. Was Romans 10:15. I am thankful for the spiritual family. I mean, the physical family that I come from. I have my grandparents here today, and I feel really blessed for the physical heritage that I have. But I also am very thankful and for my spiritual family here in this congregation, and that's made up of all the brothers and sisters down in Mexico, and just all of us. But I wanted to point it out here of y'all how much we appreciate you, because in Romans 10:15, we've talked a lot about this week about how important it is that people do need to hear. But in Romans 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And if it wasn't for y'all's prayer and your support, we couldn't be down in Mexico doing our part of the thing, which is telling the people. And if it wasn't for y'all sending us and giving to us, then we couldn't be there. So we do appreciate y'all and for sending us. And there is another part of that verse there that I want to talk about too, and tell y'all something that maybe you didn't know about Billy. This is true, and I could be spiteful, but I'm not going to. Maybe some of you didn't know, but Billy has beautiful feet. Romans 10:15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I never thought about it this way, but lately I've had to get a good attitude about rubbing his feet, because he comes home and he'll sit down by me and put his feet up on my lap and give me this little puppy dog look, and I know what he wants, and and he wants me to rub his feet. And yeah, sometimes I can do it with an okay attitude, and sometimes it's not so easy. But when I thought about this verse, I know maybe it's spiritual application here, but what about physically? If he didn't have feet, he couldn't do what he's doing. He couldn't take the gospel. So I figured, well, then I need to pamper those feet. Those feet are beautiful, and I'm going to rub them if that's what he wants me to do. So I also thought that as missionary women especially, maybe, as you know, all of us as wives, but as missionary women especially, those that their husbands do preach the gospel, it is good that we're outside the home serving God too and doing what we can. But if it's you're not doing any good if your husband comes home and you're not there, and you're out, you know, doing your part of the ministry, you need to be there so that when he comes home, he can have a good hot meal and he can put his feet up if he wants them to be rubbed. Your part of your service is to be there for him, and I believe in that wholeheartedly. Like Aunt Nelda, my main thing is I want to be a crown to my husband, and I want to serve him in the way I can, any way I can. But the other thing I wanted to talk about this morning was about serving the Lord and about being the Lord's servant. In Psalm 116:16 says, "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant." And that's just the kind of attitude that I want to have more and more, to be a servant that the Lord wants me to be. And so I thought I was of something to do a little different. I just was going to break down the word servant letter by letter, just to kind of show the attitude and characteristics that should portray a servant of the Lord. So for the letter S, I decided as servants we should be submissive. And in 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of charge of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And it says, if you do this thing willingly, you have a reward. But if not, then you won't. So we should be submissive as servants. Someone who doesn't demand his own way is what submissive means. You have to be willing to do what you're asked to do as a servant. And the letter E for someone who endures. Galatians 6, 9. We talked a lot about enduring too around here lately. Arlene shared a little bit about it. Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And it's hard sometimes to stick it out, but as a servant, that's the kind of attitude you have to have too. You have to just have a little bit of stick-em. I know when I first came here, I didn't have very much stick-em, and Brother Lindell, even before I married Billy, said, you wimp, you can't marry Billy. I remember you came down after you graduated up there in Connecticut, and you couldn't even last here 3 weeks. You just, forget it, you can't stick that out. But God can change people. And a servant has to be someone who's willing to endure some hard times. The letter R is we're responsible as servants. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." And I think we do need to realize more and more that it is our responsibility. I kind of always want to try to shirk that responsibility. I don't know if it's how I was brought up and Calvinistic ideas or whatever, but it is my responsibility to tell people the gospel, and they're not just going to hear. We have to tell them. And I'm all messed up here. It's not that I have a lot to say. I just write real big. We can't be lazy. It's our responsibility. The letter V is for someone who should be valiant. As servants, we should be valiant. In Psalm 3 and verse 6 says, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." I haven't been surrounded by 10,000s of people, but I've been surrounded by a couple hundred. I've happened to be caught in some of those groups when Billy's downtown preaching sometimes, and hundreds of people are around you, and these people are not surrounding you because they like you and they want your autograph or anything. These people are cursing and swearing and pushing, and it's a pretty scary place to be. But I think we have to be valiant, and we have to be strong and courageous, and in the strength of the Lord we have to be valiant, because sometimes we're going to be in situations, physical situations, where it's a little scary. And A is for available. A servant should be someone who is available. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." We talked a little bit about that the other night too. We can't just be someone who just says, "Lord, I'm willing," and that's good to be willing, but you also have to be someone who does it. You can't just be a talker. You have to be a doer. You have to be willing to do your part. You have to put your effort into it. And N, all I could think of as a servant for N would be someone who is nameless, someone who is not known. 2 Corinthians 6. And this is a big part of being a servant, and a hard part, because usually we want to have recognition, and we're proud, and we want to everyone to know what we do, what we sacrifice. But a servant is really someone who is willing to go unrecognized. In 2 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, "As unknown." I just used that part of the verse, but there's there are lots of other verses, believe me, about being unknown and nameless as a servant. You are just to be someone who is unnoticed and just does their job anyways. These ladies around here that do their part, they don't do it to be recognized. They just do their service, and they remain nameless a lot of times. And T for trustworthy. First Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. It says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And that's the important thing to remember, that as servants, God has entrusted us with the gospel. We don't know Like Uncle Dale said, he didn't choose everything else in creation. I don't know why he chose us, but he did choose men to entrust with the gospel. So it's a privilege to be entrusted with the gospel. Therefore, we should be found trustworthy. And I'm sure that's what we would all like to be found in Matthew 25. I'm sure we all know that. Matthew 25:21 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." That's all I wanted to say, was "thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. I don't think we could have any higher ambition than to be found a good and faithful servant. And there's one more verse I'd like to share. I couldn't fit it in with this other thing I did, but I really want to share it. It's been on my heart. It's 2 Corinthians 6. And talking about ambition or whatever, occupation, the field we're in is being missionaries. I can't think of any other job that would be any more rewarding than what we're doing. This verse 6 and verse 10 says it. "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." And I don't know if you can imagine what it's like to, right when I had to leave Aguas Calientes, we had our last women's prayer meeting. There were about 15, 20 women there. And just to hear these women praying once again about how enriched their lives have been since we've shared the gospel with them, it's just, I wouldn't trade it for anything else to just know the joy now and the peace they have in their hearts. And I heard one thing that Michael Jordan said after he was interviewed after this championship, some dream, reoccurring dream he's been having that, he's afraid of becoming this drunk and just losing everything someday. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to become a drunken gambler or whatever, but whether he does or not, he's going to lose it all. Well, unless he accepts the Lord Jesus, he's going to lose it all. But what we're doing is of eternal value, and we can never lose it. It says it's having nothing and yet possessing all things. And I just praise the Lord. Amen.